end of the war came, and the Russians occupied over there. This was near the Czechoslovakian border. So I was treated by my farmer like a son. I'm telling you, I cannot say one word. I remember the first day I couldn't, we had to bend down and do some planting. And I could not, my God, my back, and I couldn't. And the two daughters, and the wife, they said, Johann, that was me, Johann. I thought, Jan isn't Polish, but Johann isn't German. Johann, it's okay, you can sit down. It's okay, don't worry about it. For the first time I hear a word of consideration ever before in years. So, okay, I really enjoyed the time being there with them. And when the war ended, my Russian friend was not treated well. He ate with the pigs and they stayed there. And he hated those people. When the Russians came, he killed the entire family and left with loaded up a wagon full of stuff, a railroad wagon, and went back to Russia. I decided to go back and say thank you to this guy who gave me that piece of paper, because I felt that he saved my life. So I went back, and you know what? This woman amazingly immediately recognized me. I said, my God. I said, where's your husband? She said, my husband is not here. Where is he? He's in jail. I said, in jail? Why is he in jail? Well, he was a Nazi leader. So he was at this point, they had the Russians were occupying already. And the Bürgermeister, the mayor, was now a German, a communist, okay? And it's no longer like it used to be. So I said, okay, I'll do something for him. You know, we had power, the survivors. We had power. The Russians knew who we were. There were two Russian officers that were Jewish. They spoke to me in Yiddish, like my father did, same kind of Yiddish. And they said to me in Yiddish, my name is in Yiddish Mandela, in an endearing way, go and do anything you want, take anything you like. They told me, what am I going to do? I'm not going to kill anybody. But so we had power. So I said, okay, I'm going to go to the Bürgermeister and see what I can do for this guy. I went. I come in and I introduce myself. My name is Melvin Federbusch, and I was in Buchenwald. Oh, you were in Buchenwald. He embraced me. He says, we are brothers. Yeah, so was I. He was a German, but he was in Buchenwald too, because he was a communist. So now we're brothers. I said, you know, I'm here for a reason. You're holding here a guy by the name of so-and-so, Otto Schwab. I said, this guy really saved my life. I'd like you to let him go. Let him go. He says, brother, I would do anything for you. Notice, this is the same guy who sent me to Buchenwald. That guy, when he was a Nazi leader, okay? I can't do that. He says, I will never do that. But a coincidence, huh? So I said, you know what? Of course I can understand. Do me a favor. Just let him go for the weekend. There was some kind of a holiday that weekend. Let him go for the weekend, then take him back in. At least I'll feel I did something for him. And that's was that I left, and after this, shortly after this, I went back to Buchenwald to look for my two brothers that I left behind. I found only one. The other one was did not survive. And they were telling me there was a rabbi, a chaplain by the name of Herschel Schechter in Buchenwald, who came an hour after the liberation, after the tanks. He came in and he was screaming in Yiddish, "Jews, you are free, Jews, you are free." And so I said I had to talk to him, because at the same time there was a Swiss Red Cross in Buchenwald to invite the youngsters at the age of 16 or younger to go to Switzerland for rehabilitation. And my brother was accepted and I wasn't, because I was too old. So my brother said, "Why don't we talk to this Schechter, the Rabbi Schechter?" I mean, he was the chaplain. He was so involved with us, it's unbelievable. He was originally from the Bronx, and he just couldn't let go. He was so unbelievable. So I went over and I told him my story, that my brother is going and I can't. We all will be divided again. No, he says, "No, you won't be. I'll take care of that." He was helping the Red Cross with all this. So we went. And I was there. My brother was there a short time, because I think 2 years. And then there was some kind of, the State Department had some kind of special consideration for survivors who were young, and they allowed them to go to the United States. But I was too old. So I didn't, and he went. He was in the United States. I was waiting for my Polish visa, and eventually when I got it in 1950, I came here. And now, I just have to tell you a little story about in Buchenwald. There was this little boy that this Rabbi Schechter, he was reluctant to talk to him, that little boy, when he saw a uniform. A uniform to him is a uniform. You know, a little boy, what does he know? So the rabbi said to him, "Come over here, I want to talk to you. What is your name?" He says, "My name is Lulek." "Okay," he says, "how old are you?" And the kid says to him, "It doesn't matter how old I am, I'm older than you are." "What do you mean?" So laughingly, Rabbi said, "What do you mean you're older than I am?" He says, "Yes, because you can still laugh and cry. I can't." Anyway, this just to throw in something